Let's try this again. Hello, everybody. Today is Saturday, October 24th, 2020. Welcome to our Contract Trust Conference Call. We are not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We are not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Since you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Carol Worlius, and my associate Jim Knox and I have these calls every second and fourth Saturday of the month. These calls are recorded and available on our website, www.indicatorinformation.com, iqdcalls.com, and on YouTube. As we get closer and closer to expected events, we thought this would be a good time to review our common law contract trust and why we think it's the best vehicle for you to protect your assets. As always, your questions are welcome. Just star 6 to raise your hand. And we are going to change things up a bit today. Rather than having a prepared program like I usually do, we will be doing Q&A for most of the call, so please have your questions about trust ready. We do need to end this call promptly at the top of the hour today. We will not be taking questions about the event, as we really don't know much more than you do. But that being said, I would like to reiterate some of the things we have recently heard. When this happens, keep it quiet. A new communications monitoring system of social media posts, email, text messages, Discord DMs, phone conversations, etc. was in effect by the NSA and military intelligence. The Intel contact reported that you needed to be quiet about the global currency reset and RV-related issues, especially from the time you called the 800 number and set your appointment. In order to set that appointment, you would be required to sign a non-disclosure agreement. From the time you called the 800 number through at least the 90-day NDA period following exchanges and redemptions, everything you write or say about the RV DCR would be heard by the new communications monitoring system to determine if you broke conditions of that NDA. If so, your monies could be frozen. We have read that Wells Fargo, Chase, and HSBC banks would be sending out emails with a SafeLink website that contained individual 800 numbers, which you could use to set your exchange redemption appointment. If you do not receive that email, then you could find the secure website on the websites that I'm going to talk to you in a minute about. The secure website would have instructions on how to obtain your personalized coded 800 ID number for the redemption process. The SafeLink website where you may obtain your own 800 number would be on these links. And we are going to post them at some point. Did Our Chronicle, Done Our Recaps, Mark Z, Bruce at Big Call Universe, TNT, and Done Our Detectives. Jamie, you want to say something about the website right now or you want to do it later?
No, we're just talking about it right now. We've had a bit of an issue with a company that was supposed to move it, so we've jumped ship and went to another one. It should start at noon today will be the time that it actually starts moving. So at noon when I change the DNS settings, till probably tomorrow night or maybe as late as Tuesday, I doubt Tuesday, but tomorrow night, you'll not be able to get on the website. And okay. That the same thing for all of our websites. It's just, you know, it just has to happen this way.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So anyway, when everything is up and running again, Jim will post these links. So you will click on the SAFE website and put in the zip code in which you live or in which you want to exchange or redeem. After you log into the SafeLink website, you will be asked some qualifying questions that tell them who you are, like when you open a bank account. That would generate an 800 number based on what location you put in. A unique code will be generated with the 800 number for each currency holder, and that code will be your unique ID code for your appointment. Those who use the general 800 number from Intel sites will be given their unique code from the call center representatives. If you have Zim, tell them so they can direct you to the right redemption center. They want Zim redeemers in the first 4 days. The redemption centers would be closed after 30 days. In addition to the 800 number, you would receive a non-disclosure agreement that you needed to agree with in return. There would be a second NDA for you to sign at your appointment. From that point onward, you could not discuss anything about your appointment nor the reset to anyone for 90 days. We may, and this is depending on if we're able to, send an email blast announcing the eagle has landed or something to that effect. We have to keep it quiet also. I know we have discussed this in the past, but as a reminder, there are certain words and terms you cannot use at your exchange, or you will violate your NDA. Redemption, exchange, global currency reset, GCR, revaluation, RV, currency exchange rates, quantum financial system, or QFS. Do not use these terms after you exchange and sign an NDA. Now, to questions and answers. So anybody who has a question, just please raise your hand, star 6. And until somebody comes up with something, I did get a question on an email yesterday. And this lady wrote, I talked to a bank about opening my trust. They stated they do not open business trust. That she would have to state grantor, trustee, or successor. My reply was, I would suggest you wait until your exchange to open a bank account. And also, the instructions that we do send you with your trust specifically say not to say business trust. It is a non-grantor trust. We have exchangers, trustees, and successor trustees. This lady wrote back to me and said she did not say business trust, but they surmised it was a business trust. I don't know how they would make that supposition off of the abstract, but apparently they did. So, I suggest everybody just waits until they're exchanged, because there will be representatives, well, from what we understand, there'll be representatives there from all the major banks, B of A, Chase, maybe not B of A, Chase, Wells, HSBC, and I guess B of A. I thought there was another one. But in any event, that's where we are as of right now. So, Jim, you have anything to add at the moment before we get some questions?
I don't really have anything to add. Okay, let's talk about it. I got a call from one of our people yesterday and was talking to me about multiple properties, multiple houses on a property. And how do you do that? Well, it depends. So if you have a property with multiple houses on it and it only has one plat number or one identification number, you're going to have to notify your insurance company that you have multiple properties on there. And the trust will have to have, as far as I can tell, we'll have to have both houses in the trust if you're going to put the real estate in trust, because you have multiple houses on it. You can't separate them out unless they have a plat number or a plot, different plot or different, different address may work. But if there's got, like where I live, we've got a second house on the property and its address has 300 and a half. Mine's like, for example, 300. So, but that's two houses on one property. And the question was, how do you separate the properties out and have each house in a trust? The only way you can do that is by getting it rezoned to multifamily and then paying for that and then get a plat done and separate it out. So if that comes up and you're buying property, keep that in mind. And again, if you are using the properties for commercial purposes or business purposes, like my house, I have people come here. My home insurance includes a business rider on the policy. Make sure you have that added to your policy. It did increase the cost a little bit, but it's worth it. Because if you have a residence and you're doing a business out of it and you don't have insured as a business, if somebody comes and does business and falls in your house, you may not be covered. Those are the two things that came up again this week so far.
Good point. Well, I see nobody has any questions yet. Come on, guys. That's why we're here today. I'm sure somebody has some questions.
Did we ever send out that information on personal banking?
I don't believe so.
Do we want to talk about that at all at this point, or do we want to forget about that for now?
Go ahead.
Well, as I understand it, there is a way to buy a specific type of life insurance policy, and then you can borrow most of the money from the policy after goes through a slight maturity phase. I don't think it's very long. And they'll also allow you to get set up an annuity, and you get a really good return on the annuity. So in the example that I was shown was they used $1 million policy. And the after the I think it was 16 or 18 months, it wasn't very long, you can borrow 90% of $1 million. So that's $900,000. You can borrow it from the policy. They'll write you a check, send it to you, and do whatever you want with it. And then the face value is still $1 million. So upon your demise, the heirs would get, or whoever you assign the contract to, would get the $100,000 that's left over. And then the $900,000, they don't get it unless you do it the right way, which would be whatever you're going to buy should be something you can put in a trust. And then they'd be your successor trustee, plus they'd get the policy, the residual over and above, and the annuity. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and get the policy all squared away, and then when I can, I'm going to use it for investing in some real estate. And then I'll put each one of the pieces in a trust, make my successor trustees also the recipients of the benefit of the life insurance policy. As I understand it, you can have the policy owned by somebody else. So if you're a husband and a wife, you could have the wife's policy owned by the husband. Upon her demise, all the money goes directly to his estate. Instead of going through her estate, being taxed, and he gets a residual, and vice versa. She could own his policy. Upon his demise, it goes directly to her, not through his estate, and then she gets the residual. So keep that in mind when you set up your policies.
Yeah.
And this is
really good information out there. Well, I mean, there's some really good information out there on how to do these things. I mean, we bring it up only because Jim and I both think it's interesting and we're planning on doing it. We're not experts at it, obviously, but if you, I'm sure you can find a few books on Amazon or whatever to help you through this. And we do have a few questions, so let's start there now. Good morning, Danny. How are you doing today?
Perfect. Thank you very much for asking. I hope everything is well in your life and going forward with anticipation of our future.
Yeah.
Anyways, question is simply, could you run through kind of a simulation of like what it could be like? We talk about going to the meeting with the person to whom we are going to not exchange, not cash in, not revet. I don't know what you meant by that when you said that. How do you talk to the person across the table from you? You know, with what documents would you present? And should they say, "Oh, we don't accept this"? And how do you negotiate through that gate of?
Well, I think when you're at exchange, they are going to be, those terms will probably be pretty open because you're signing the NDA with those people. Okay. If they tell you, "We cannot say these words now," then here's my currency. Whatever. Well, you can't even say that. Okay. Yeah, you could say. Yeah, you can say currency. To the best of my knowledge, you know, all it takes to open a bank account typically is your abstract of trust and your EIN letter. So Jim and I are both assuming that's all you will need at your exchange appointment. I have over the years suggested don't bring in the entire trust. They don't think you're going to need it, but if you feel more comfortable, put it in your briefcase and just leave it there. If they ask for it, you got it. I don't think they're going to ask for it. What about you, Jim? How do you feel about that?
I agree, but I'm going to segue here real quick. Danny, you didn't send me the application. Remember, we had a conversation about this.
You're right. So my intent is to do that today. So thank you very much for giving me the stick, and I will take and fetch it and bring it back. And there's just a little thing that about that, but I thought to call you, and every time I'm just busy and I bypass it. And that is, I need an NDA for my successor trustee. And now I know that the website is kind of like in transition, and you know, perhaps I'm assuming, and I would get to that to see, you know, if it's there. But that's what I need because I'm so uncomfortable with the option of my successor trustee and their environment backstory that I see, and that's what I'm dragging my feet about. So when I realize you can have an NDA for the successor trustee, I'm going, that's what I need. That would solve it so I can feel comfortable. So I'll get that to you. I mean, I got the name, but just don't have the permission of the primary successor trustee.
But so anyway, we're talking about the triple plan, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So I'm going to leave that site up. I'm going to leave that site up for a day or two. It'll be one of the last things we move, and I'll move it in the middle of the night. So go ahead and go to 3itrustapp.com when you get a chance. Fill that in, and I want to get that done for you.
Okay,
and then,
I'll do that today. I'll get the permission today. Right, go ahead, Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah. Well, I figured if I got you here on the phone in front of everybody, you better do it now.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. I love it. Listen,
I know. I'll tell everybody next time. Danny didn't do it. We got to get on his butt. You know?
Please. Be with me. I love you all. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Danny. Anyway, appreciate it.
Going back to the conversation, though, that we were talking about on the meeting, I would say, well, here's what I plan to do. Walking in with all my paperwork, my briefcase, everything, and I'm going to sit down and say, I don't want to make any mistakes. What terms can I use? Just ask them.
And there you go.
You know, they've got to be truthful with you. They're not going to trick you. Just ask them. Say, you know, I'm concerned. I hear rumors. We can't say certain words. And so on and so forth. What words can I say? Just ask them. I mean, they're going to tell you. And if they say, well, you know, if you say I'm here to cash in, that's going to hurt you. But you should say I'm here to exchange. Well, okay, let's use that word. I'm here to exchange. Just ask them. I mean, they're not there to be our enemy. They're there because they want to make money. The bank wants to make money, and they want to see us get through this. And they're going to tell us what we can and cannot say if you ask. That's my take on
it. Perfect. And representing the trust in with its EIN and its abstract, you know, it's not. We don't represent it as a business trust. We represent it as a what?
As a trust.
It's a non-grantor trust. Don't say business trust.
It's a non-grantor. Right.
Yeah, it's not a grantor trust. And then, I mean, just
stay with it.
Let's put it this way. This is the bottom line. The less you say, the safer you are. So. Okay. Let them ask questions and only answer the questions. Pretend you're in a court of law. Only answer the question directly. Don't embellish on the answer.
Okay.
So that's how I'm going to do this. I'm going to go in there very businesslike. No funny business, no jokes, no nothing. Just get in there. What can I say? What terms can I use? You know, just to communicate with you. And they'll tell you, and then you just say, I'm a little bit nervous, don't know what to do in here, so let's just go ahead and do this. What terms can I use? And when they ask questions, give them a one- or two-word answer. Don't embellish it. Don't go any further. If it's not enough information, they'll ask for more information. Don't give them any more information than you need to. Just keep it short, sweet, to the point, on point, and get out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. Get your money and get out.
Exactly.
And so watching, you know, for the green light is important for 4 days with them holding that you get there, find some way to get in if they allow it, and so forth. So we take our chance.
Yeah.
We're at the casino, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, thank you so much for that intel, and thank you so much for, you know, your question. I'll be there today. Thank you so
All
much,
right.
guys. Carry on.
Cheers. Right.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, Sandy, you're up.
Hey, that was one of my questions right there was, when do you stop saying all these things? In other words, if we find out the 800 numbers have come out, we want to call our family and tell them the 800 numbers are out, can we do that? are we being watched right from the very start?
From everything that I have read, once you make that appointment, you cannot say anything.
Oh, okay.
Up until the time, let's say you get an email or that it has happened. The eagle has landed. Yes, you could call your friends and family and tell them to go to one of those websites. But once you make your own appointment, you have to zip your lips.
Okay. And then you were talking about, say we get the notice from y'all, eagle has landed, then we can go to these other TNT or Denara recap,
yeah,
whatever, and get, okay, all right, that was my question. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, well, and, you know, for most people who, you know, you probably early on at least bought your currency from a dealer, and in my recollection when I did this, I had to submit my email address. So I'm sure all of those email addresses had been collected from banks, from dealers, anybody that was selling currency. So the likelihood is you will get the email telling you that it has occurred and to call this number or do whatever. Some people that, you know, were just gifted currency or they bought it off of eBay or whatever, obviously they're not going to get a call or they're not going to get an email. So all these backups are, they're just that. They're redundant for those of us, for those who are not going to get the email from the bank for whatever reason. So I think, though, probably most of us will get an email from the banks.
Yeah. I think the bank would send you something. I mean, I bought dong from the bank. You think they would notify me on the dong?
No. No. That's just a transaction. Because the dong is still a active currency. And I did the same thing. I bought mine at a local bank. And all they do is just give you a paper receipt. So it wouldn't be from the dong, but if you bought Zim or if you bought dinar from a dealer, they will more than likely have your email address. And I'm sure the banks in question have collected all of those email addresses.
Well, my dinar people are closed down for various reasons.
Yeah, well, whatever. You know, like I said, that's why they have all these backups.
Right. Okay, that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. So,
Carol, before you go forward on the next call.
Yes.
This is a little tidbit of information. I got an email from Ameritrade, and I haven't done anything with my account in 2 years. And they wanted to confirm my email address. And I thought that was interesting. So I called them and talked to them about, I don't know, a month ago, whatever it was. And they said, oh, we're just making sure you're still around. And, you know, we're now in the foreign currency business, too, by the way.
Ah.
So I think they allow you to trade the foreign currency now. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Ameritrade is contacting people, trying to get them to use their services again.
Good. Good to know.
Interesting.
Okay. So, up next, it's either Jerry or Norma. I don't know which one of you are on the line.
Well, it's the one with the biggest mouth, I guess.
Good morning, Nora.
I just wanted to make a few statements about my understanding that when we first get notification and we do an NDA to receive the information we need to move forward, we don't get on the phone or go next door and talk to everybody about where we're going and what time and what for, all that kind of thing. Those kinds of things, that I believe is what that NDA is for. I want to put out a note to everybody that I'm in contact with and let them know to check their emails. Then once you get to the exchange center and you sit down with those people, you can say anything you want because you're there to do business as far as terms are concerned, because you're there to do business with them. Then when you get ready to leave or whatever point during the process, you will sign an NDA with at that point that when you leave there for the next 90 days, you will keep your business quiet, what your exchange was about, you know, what you got on the during the process, et cetera. And that's when those terms will be flagged because it's a private transaction. So So therefore, they don't want it out to the public, and they will expose it to the public when they are ready. Also, you were talking about, you know, how would anybody from your bank possibly be contacting you? Our experience was that when we went to the bank to buy dongs, you had to have an account with that bank to buy the dongs. So they got all your information. And, yes, I would bet that they would definitely be contacting everybody that they had that bought currency from them so that they would come to them to do the transaction. A side note real quick, and I have told several people I'm in contact with that they will get one because their names have been turned in. So, I mean, not their names, excuse me. Only their email address has already been turned into a list. But anyway, maybe that will help clarify some things. I hope so.
I hope that's great. That's wonderful. Okay. Thank you for sharing.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
When I went into Wells Fargo, I bought some dong a couple times. And they asked for all kinds of information. They got my email address when I bought it. And, of course, I had an account there. And they made note of it on the transaction. So I think she's right. I think that they know. Somebody knows. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask for my email address.
Oh, that's good. When I bought mine at a local bank in the Seattle area, it was just at a Travelex exchange within the bank. And it was just, I gave him money. I gave him a dollar if he gave me back Vietnamese dong and a paper receipt. That was all. So I guess it all depends on where you got it from.
Yeah. I mean, I did AAA for a long time. I bought most of my currency to AAA. And I got a call not too long ago from them and said they're no longer marketing the dong because I was going in about every 2.5-3 weeks and buying a bunch. So they had my record there. Anyway, next.
Okay, next. All right. I don't know who this is. Come on. Area code 347.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you guys hear me? Hey, it's Marcia. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've been kind of out the loop with everything, and I was kind of late to the game with this as well. So one of my questions is, with all of this information, I know that you guys had, you know, the website. Is there an actual document that kind of lists everything with those step-by-step that we can kind of go back and read? And I'm asking this for myself, and I know I have a couple of my friends have been on these calls too. And then my question is, has the process changed? I did the trust through you all, but when it comes to going in after the call and then setting up the bank account, and my understanding is then setting up an additional one after a period of time, has that process changed?
Well, I hear two questions there. Jim, you want to talk about her question about the website?
The website. So did you get into the website? I mean, no, I guess your question was, do we have anything about the RV on the website? No, we don't.
Okay.
Intentionally. There's nothing on there about that. We just want to be proactive, and there was a little bit on there, and I took it off quite a while ago. It's just too dangerous to have it on there right now. And so we took it off. And so what was the other question on the website? Just that? Is it on there? No, it's not.
Your other question was about bank accounts?
Yes, the bank account. So I know initially when we do go, when we have the meeting, we should be setting up an account under the non-grantor trust itself. Has the process changed to where do we leave it under that, or is it that after a period of time, I don't know, a week or 2 weeks, that we end up opening an additional account and moving those particular funds, or has that process changed?
I don't think it's changed, but the process about opening an account to begin with is to open one for the Mother Lode Trust,
mm-hmm.
open it. Second one immediately and close the first one. It helps with your privacy, protecting your privacy. And I don't know if we have that on the website or not, but we have a lot written on that.
Okay.
And if you want to send me an email later, I will find what I have written and send it to you.
Perfect.
and okay, that might be helpful. That.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Thank you. That was all that I have for now. I said, no, I appreciate that. Thank you. That's all I had for now. That's helpful.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Jim, you have any comments about that?
Not really. Just making sure everybody understands we've taken everything off of the website relating to this just in case. We don't know what day it's coming down, and you know, I may be traveling or something, can't get it off there, so I just took it off early. I figured everybody that's involved with this, if they're involved with the currency, they'll pretty much have everything ready for them.
Okay. All right. Okay. Terry, how are you today? Terry? Terry, I think you're muted. Okay. Well, we'll leave Terry there. If he decides to come on and unmute himself, we'll be ready. There's nobody else in the queue. Jim, what do you want to talk about?
I don't have any particular things I want to talk about. I think that, I'll pop in with some things. You know, we are hearing more often all the things that are supposed to be happening. And they keep kicking this thing down the road, you know. It seems like every week it's, well, now it's going to be next Tuesday. Well, now it's going to be Friday. Well, no, we're going to be next Monday. No, now it's going to be next Wednesday. And, you know that we've been listening to this forever. My opinion, it's just my opinion, folks, is we won't see this RV until the election, probably right after the election. And here's why. There is a law that says that you cannot do anything to influence an election 14 days before the election. Well, we're in that window right now. Now, I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm giving you my opinion. And only that, so don't shoot me. Just my opinion. So it doesn't happen until right after the election. It's probably not supposed to. And I've said this for about 3 months off and on, that I think it'll be right at the election or right after. And I didn't say that on this call because I don't want to get shot. You know, we're all waiting. But if you look at the logistics of how they're doing this, and the fact that we are in an election year and we are on the cusp of the election, and there are certain laws they have to follow, and the one that concerns me is you can't do anything for 14 days prior to the actual election to influence in any way. Well, you know, they could contribute to the election.
Jim, your phone just went squirreling.
Not my
phone. Weird. Okay, well, maybe.
Not
okay,
me.
Terry, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Oh, now we can, yes. Go ahead, Terry.
I had a speaker set up, so my apologies. Jim, you and I spoke of a transaction like for a real estate trust. Like right at the moment, right. I have only a, like the mother lode trust, and we spoke of a procedure of what we do to like borrow using the exchange or that this trust that at the moment does not exist would loan the currency to the mother lode trust for exchange. That procedure that we spoke about. So my question is, do I need to I declare that at the moment of exchange that I'm exchanging this on behalf of this non-existent trust?
No.
Or do I just go ahead and do the exchange and do all the paperwork, like do the resolutions and all that stuff afterwards?
Do it afterwards, Terry, because it's private. There's no reason for them to even know about it.
Yeah.
So that's why we love trust. They're private. Nobody gets to see this stuff.
Yeah.
And we can do anything we want to do. Again, remember, a contract is valid, whether it be written or spoken.
Yeah.
Or sometimes even thought about. So even though you don't have everything in place, your intent was there. And the intent should be in some type of a notepad or notes attached to the trust. Write down your thoughts. Put it in your secretary's book, as I call it, for your trust, so you've got a record of it, date it, sign it, and then don't worry about it when you go to any of that stuff, when you go to the exchange. Exchange is for one thing only, and that's to get your money. After you get your money, then you can paper your trail the way you want it. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not going to be writing a whole lot of contracts. I have a lot of things in my head that I want to do, but I want to see their paperwork. I want to see what they have to say first before I formalize anything, because that'll influence how I set it up.
Yeah, great. So, thank you very much. That puts my mind at ease, because so I will put it in what I call my to-do list.
There you go.
That'll solve that problem. Anyway, that's the only question I came up with today, but that it helped me figure this out. Thank you.
Yeah, that was excellent. Thank you. Okay. He mentioned his to-do list.
Yeah.
I have a to-do list and a to-done list. Unfortunately, not much on my to-done list. There's way too much on my to-do list.
I get that, for sure. Yeah. All right, up next, Dawn, how are you today?
Hi.
Dawn, are you there?
Yes, hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yep.
Okay, I'm so glad you're here today. I have a few questions. I got on a couple of minutes late. Do you have a successor trustee NDA online?
No, nope. Not yet. We can do it really quick. We need to do that.
Yeah.
We've been threatening to do that now for about 2 weeks, but so many things have happened, we just didn't get it done.
I see.
We will do that right away, and then we will get it on the site. And since you are a little bit late, you may not know that the website's making its final transition. It's all scheduled. We got a company that's finishing it up now. So if it's not up for a day or two, don't freak out. It's just, you know, it's in transition.
Okay.
But, yes, we will get that done. We've been talking about that, and Carol and I have got a couple we've been working on, trying to get it just the right wording, because everything we've got is not specifically for what you're talking about. We're going to make it specifically for what we're talking about. So
okay. The
NDA for successors.
All right. And another question I had was, when we do go to exchange, how will we take money out of the trust, for spending money right away?
Well, Carol, you know more about that part than I do. Why don't you go ahead and tell what you know?
From what I have read over the years, we are going to have the option of taking up to $14,000 in cash when we leave. Of course, if you take $10,000 or more, it is going to be flagged for FinCEN. So if you want cash, take $9,500. After that, after all said and done, you have the money into your trust account. Your trust account can do whatever you want to do. But as I said to you yesterday, bear in mind that anything you take personally is probably going to be taxable to you. I mean, we don't know. We keep hearing about Trump is going to change all the tax laws, et cetera, et cetera. But it hasn't happened yet. So any money you take out now would be considered taxable. In your situation that we talked about yesterday, you're going to make a check payable to that facility directly. Medical and educational payments are not taxable events, to my knowledge, or at least they haven't been for a long time. So, I don't know how much money you're talking about, $10,000, $100,000, I don't know. But, you know, we're all going to want to put some money into personal accounts. I have read recently that when you go to your exchange, let me see how I read this, bring a list of bank accounts that you want to have money put into with your account number and routing number, and they will take care of that on that end. Like, I have a couple of personal bank accounts, one here in Oklahoma and one in Washington. I'm going to have money wired to both of those accounts. And it's also been suggested keep whatever you have in your personal account, keep it under $50,000. So for whatever reason it gets hacked, that's the extent of your loss is $50,000. So just things to, a lot of them are just common sense, what to think about.
I see. And okay. Like we discussed yesterday, if there's anybody else on the line, I was thinking of opening up another trust for medical reasons, for all medical expenses, you know, in case a nursing home is needed or whatever.
I think it's a great idea.
That's a primary reason why we put the annuity trust together. And so you can have some money coming in there. It's making money. You can pay all your medical bills. That's what I'm doing with my brother. He's got some serious medical issues just coming up. So, and I've got one set up for me.
Okay. So, you have the annuity trust information on the website?
Yeah, we do. We do. We got the application. We don't have a whole lot of stuff on there right now. We've not put a lot on the website lately because of the issues we've been having with it. It works, but we will get more on there. Give us, by this time next week, it'll be a lot of good stuff on there. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting to put on there. And one other thing is on the taxes, personal taxes. You know, I don't care how much money that I take out and put in my personal account because I'm going to have so many business expenses that you can roll back. So in 3 years from now, you can roll back and pick up this money. You can roll your taxes back 3 years, according to my CPA friend. So I'm not worried about that because we will have investments and things like that, expenses that we can use to offset that in the future, especially if it's medical. So
okay. When I go on the website, when it's up in reference to this annuity, it'll explain everything about how to do it with the medical?
It will have some information there about that. Again, remember, we are just information providers. We can't give you legal advice, but we put references on there that put notes that can send you to wherever we got the information so you can call those people and get professional advice. We try and make that available at all times, you know, all the court cases and all that stuff is always on there. And, you know, we just want to be a good source of information. We can't give legal advice on that stuff nor financial advice. That's why I keep mentioning how I do things and that I have CPAs and I have attorneys. And we got to be careful. But, yeah, there will be a lot of information about how to use it.
Okay. So when you say you have CPAs and attorneys, would you share that information with us?
Well, they're local here. They can't be used in another state. It's only for the state of Oregon. Remember, each attorney in the state.
Yeah. So once you get involved with wealth managers, they'll have all those resources for you, I'm sure.
And that's the other thing is the wealth managing system that we're going to be exposed to. You get to pick one. That's their job. Their job is to be the bigger conduit to all of those professionals, and they'll be vetted before you use them. And you can always double vet them. Hire somebody to make sure they're good. But, yeah, you're going to have all kinds of sources through your wealth management team. You know, basically they call it the home office. And, you know, they're even to the point where they are a concierge. You need tickets for an airplane, they'll get them for you, the whole nine yards. It'll be available to you. It's going to be a wild and crazy ride, folks, wild and crazy.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to
it. Yeah, I'm familiar with that, with the banks. I was just interested in, you know, getting contacts from people that already have a relationship that trust these people because, you know, there's good ones and bad ones. But another question, as soon as this happens, of course I want to get additional trust, you know, for different reasons. Would I be able to get one for my son as well so he could have his own trust?
Sure.
Because I can't afford to do it for him.
Yeah. You get as many as you need for whomever you want to get them for. We just have to have an application so we know how to build the trust.
Okay, great. Okay, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Right. Thanks, Don.
Speaking of annuity trust, everybody that bought annuity trust this last week, that was just overwhelming. I mean, we worked hard to keep up with that. That thing is quite a product. Everybody seems to like it. And we got a lot of good comments about that. So thank you very much for those that jumped on there and got that. And we're extending the discount for another week. So just so you know, We appreciate you guys, and we're going to continue giving you the best price we can. Carol?
Amen to that. Okay. All right. We have another caller. This is area code 605 in South Dakota. 605.
Yeah. Hey. Greetings,
Hi.
Family and friends. This is a kind of a lighthearted scenario. I'm not asking for advice, just thoughts.
Okay.
All my paperwork's ready. I got everything in order. I rehearsed a lot of things. I don't know if we can answer this or not, but here's the scenario. I just want to play a little role play. So I'm sitting at the desk. I'm about to do the business with the banks. I know that a while back I had heard you could only have 30% of your deposits maybe for a little while, things like that. I don't care about that. My question basically is, would it be a good idea to, I don't really want to park money in a bank, but I'm thinking it's negotiation. We don't know until we get there. But I wonder if the banks, just to guess, are going to say, well, if you leave so much in here for a while, blah, blah, blah. Because it's a great idea to go in with a triple C forms and a list of places I want money sent to different banks. My question is, do you suppose, or what are your thoughts on how long we'd have to park money with the place we exchange?
Go ahead. I got
Can you? Is that your phone, Carol?
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of it. Sharon, I'm on my conference call.
So anyway, the thing that I lost my train of thought. I derailed my own train. I hate when I do that.
I'm sorry.
You're going to have the forms. You're going to go in there. Give me the question again.
Okay, everything is in order. I got everything's ready. On my paper, everything's in line. I know my brain what I'm going to be doing. The question is, what would be the thoughts on parking money at the bank we exchange at? In other words, let's just say I had 10 foreign. Let's say it's $2. I'm going to get 20 mil. So if I put some of that in there, I don't really want to keep money in the bank that's exchanging, but I'm sure they're going to wrestle me down to the fact that, well, if you leave so much in here for a while, you know, we can do better. I don't know. My question is basically this. Do you think you're going to have to park money at the place you exchange without them getting, you know, mad? Or could I go in there and take the whole amounts and just leave a tiny bit in there and then move them to other banks? How long would you have to park money, do you suppose?
Okay. I have some experience with this through a client that has an account. Wells Fargo has got quite a bit of money.
Right.
And he has had them recently tell him, well, you got to leave X amount of money and they're going to charge you these fees. He says, well, I'll tell you what, you charge me a dime in fees and I'm pull all my money out. So you guys figure it
out. Exactly.
So they back them off right there. Okay. What he has done and what I had done in the past, not presently, but in the past, I have an investment account. I had Ameritrade. And I parked money in Ameritrade, and it pays you a pretty good interest, and it's protected.
I agree with that.
It was then. It was then. Okay, if you put a dollar in there, it was insured for a dollar. You put a dollar in a bank, they'll give you stock if they fail. Well, what good is stock if they fail? It's
exactly.
Worthless. So I plan on working with my wealth managers and taking my money, and I'm going to put it in different investment accounts around basically around the world. And then
I will
use those investment accounts for collateral at a bank to go get a loan to go buy a piece of real estate.
Excellent.
Now, I have the cash to back up the loan. Now I have a piece of real estate that has a lien against it from the bank, and I'm paying virtually interest. And I have an income source, and they're now, if they're going to try and come after you and steal your asset, they got to pay the bank off first.
Right.
And what I would do is every year refinance the house and take out 110% of the value, so there's no incentive. There's no equity there. Why would they try and steal your house? If they want to take the house and I have 110% debt on it, hey, take it. Pay me the 110%. You know, and I just got myself. I didn't have to pay a commission to a broker, and I sold the house. You know?
Excellent.
You know, so Yeah, that's how I plan on doing it. And I've got a client that's doing this right now. He's quite wealthy. He's doing basically what I just said. And I don't get into details with him, as he doesn't offer them. I'm not about to ask. It would be rude. But he's been very open on some of his banking stuff lately with me, because he knows he's also invested in this project. So
right.
And but that's what we're going to do. We're going to have multiple investment accounts. You know, you can use Ameritrade or whatever the heck the name is.
I got some lined up. Yeah, that's good.
There you go.
I just didn't know if they were going to talk about taking money out of their institution when they do the thing, but they're all going to get a little bit of their hands on it anyway. All right, that answers
it.
It's kind of what I was thinking, so I moved to the file of Full Tilt Boogie, so I got it. I think that's good. I just wanted to hear it from you.
All right, perfect.
All right. Thank you.
All right, stay warm, you guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we've got 10 minutes, and we've got three callers, so let's make these quick. Area code 631 in New York. Hello. Okay.
Let's move the next one.
Yeah. Okay. Norma, you have another question?
Yes, I do have a question. Could you please, maybe this will help other people too, could you give a little bit of clarity to this? When we go into exchange, we are the trustees representing the trust that's going to be the mother load that will handle all the exchange. From what I understand, the accounts will be set up as such. Therefore, if that's the mother load and you don't want any kind of outside activity to come against that or be exposed to it, then you would want to move a certain amount of money over into your management trust and let all your cards and transactions come through that and only exchange from the mother load to the move money from the mother load to the management account as it's needed. But at the time of exchange, they're talking about offering cash as well as cards. Should that be refused as far as the mother load is concerned and only open up the management account to accept a debit card or credit card, et cetera? And how would the actual money, cash money, would that wouldn't open up anything as far as access to that mother load. Is that correct? And am I going down the right trail?
Yeah, you're down the right trail perfectly. You're right. And what I'm doing is my mother load trust is going to immediately fund the management company. And then I'll move some money to that. And it already has contracts with my real estate trust, has contract with my automobile trust to manage that money. Because those trusts have been funded, and I've hired the mother load trust to exchange. I know it gets complicated, but just hear me out on this, folks. My two trusts have contracted my mother load trust to exchange. So instructions are, put the money, once you exchange that, put it in the management trust on behalf of my real estate trust and my automobile trust. So that's how that money's going to get in there. And so that's how we do this. Now, there's two or three different ways to do this. We don't know exactly which one's going to work the best because things are changing so rapidly. But, yes, and then as far as having a debit card or anything on the mother load, no. In my opinion, no. Take the cash, but don't use the debit card. Don't get the debit card. And as a matter of fact, we have discussed this before, and what we said was make sure that you tell the bankers, I do not want this account used for training purposes, nor do I want it in the public realm. If I want to move money from my mother load trust, I will come see my wealth manager or the banker personally, and I will move it physically or personally at the bank. I don't want anybody seeing it. So here's the problem. There's going to be a big number in that thing. And if you allow a teller to see that, when she sees all your accounts, he sees everything, you think they're not going to tell their friends, oh, my God, I saw an account today. They had $20 million in there. They're going to be talking about it. I mean, so we want to make sure that we protect ourselves. And it's kind of like common sense, you know. The problem, common sense is pretty damn uncommon, but those of us that have it, We're going to be looking at how do we shelter ourselves, how do we keep everything low profile, and how do we still do what we want to do. And that's why we use trust. If we can do anything we want to do, if we do it properly, then we want to do. And we always do it properly. That's why we have these set up. It's a great question there. But that's exactly, Norma, how we're going to do this. I mean, that's how I do it.
Okay. Thank you so much. So the cash is fine, and I just want to make sure that would be okay, too. All right. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Looks like we've got our New York caller back. Area code 631, and we've got 5 minutes left, folks. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, hi, Carol. Hi, Jim. This is Veronica.
Hi.
I'm calling. Hi, hopefully everybody's okay. I'm calling because I wanted to know two things. One is the $14,000 you said to keep it to at least a minimum of, the most of $9,500. So my question is, does that money include any amount that you'd want to request that, for example, I have bills like some of us, and I'd like to pay them off. So my question is that $9,500, that's the everything that you can take, or can you use additional to say give this to this, write a check for this amount to this place, to this bank or whatever? Can you do it that way or no?
From what I've read in the past, actually we can take up to $14,000 before. You can take up to $14,000. As I said, $10,000, you're going to have to fill out another FinCEN. From what I have read, you can ask for, I think, 5 cashier's checks and 5 wires. So if you say you want to pay off your mortgage, have all your mortgage information ready, and they will pay it for you. But then again, you're working now from your mother lode trust, not a management trust. So, you know, as Jim just said, you know, you're better off waiting. Put everything in your mother lode trust to begin with, and then fund your other trusts. I mean, it's your choice. You can do whatever you want. But my screen keeps going weird here. Jim, you got any comments on that?
No, it's just, frankly, they're going to offer you $14,000 to walk out with. They don't want you to walk out with $100,000. You might get mugged. You can do anything you want after you go through the process. You get your bank account opened up. You go through the little bit of training. You meet with your wealth managers. You need $1 million check. They'll write you $1 million. They'll give you a check for $1 million. You do whatever you want with it. It's your money. You do anything you want with it.
Yeah.
But you have a protocol you got to go through. And the procedure is they want you to be a little bit educated before they start giving you this money because they know how people can be. You know, they don't want you going out and buying his and hers matching Rolls Royces or Ferraris the first week. You know. So yeah, they're going to make sure that you have enough knowledge to protect yourself. And so you're just going to have to go with the flow on that. I mean, we don't know what we don't know, you know, because we've not been there. Nobody's ever done this before. This is the first time in history that we're going to be able to do this. So we don't know. So that's why I say when you get there, ask questions.
Okay, so then that $9,500 is not all-inclusive. It's just cash which you can take out of the bank. But for the bills and so on, they it's a good idea to have a management trust that you can operate from rather than from the mother lode trust. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to be running anything out of the mother lode trust because then it becomes public. You don't want that. You want to use a management trust, annuity trust, standard trust, just not the mother lode trust.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and do you have an idea how long it takes for us to get an appointment with the wealth manager after that, or you don't know, pretty much?
I have no idea. Nobody's ever done this before.
Yep.
Okay. So then I guess that's where we are with that. Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
Have a nice day.
Thank you, Veronica. Okay. All right. Una, let's see. Come on. There you go. Una, you're up next. Una, are you on mute?
Hi, hello, you're hearing me now?
Hi, there she is. Hi.
Oh, okay, I had myself on mute. Sorry about that. I hear you talking about this annuity trust, and I never heard about that before. Can you just give me a quick idea of what that is?
Sure. We previewed it a couple weeks ago. What it is a lot of us are going to be buying annuities. In other words, I'm going to take some cash – and I'm going to go buy an annuity that's going to pay to a trust that I set up. That trust then is going to hire me to be the trustee, and it'll pay all of my expenses as the trustee. And upon my demise, if I don't live through the duration of the annuity will continue to pay to that trust. My successors will then receive that annuity money. It's just a way to make sure you've got enough money. Let's say that something really bad happens, and you somehow you buy the twin Rolls Royces and the twin Ferraris, and you go broke. Well, the annuity is still there. You can still live comfortably the rest of your life. So I'm going to set my annuity. For me, my magic number is $10,000 a month. That's what I want to be able to get. I'm not going to take it, but that's what the annuity is going to pay the trust. So I buy an annuity, say it for 20 years, and I say I want it to pay to this trust $10,000 a month for 20 years. They tell me how much I got to put in there. I put that amount of money in. Now, that trust has $10,000. As a trustee, it's going to supply me with a living, you know, housing, car, expenses, travel, this, that, and the other thing, food. So there you go. You've got yourself a trust set up for 20, 25-year trust. Let's say you got a 20-year annuity. You've got money no matter what happens to your estate. You've got enough to live on, pay your bills, take care of your medical expenses. So that's what that's all about.
Sounds good to me. So you already set that up? How much does that cost?
$1,695 normally. We're giving 25% off for another 7 days. You can go to the 3i Trust app and order it, and we will do it for you.
Okay. So you say you're going to take down the information from the website. What's the app you say now?
It's 3itrustapp.com is where we have our applications for the trust. Indicator information has that link on there, but we're moving it to the new server. So it may be down overnight, maybe 18 hours. I don't think any more than that. So we're going to start that at noon today. That's when that starts its progress into the new location. So
I wouldn't be able to do it now?
Sure.
Well, the 3i Trust app will work.
Yeah, 3i Trust app.
Give me the proper name for it for me. The number 3?
Yeah. The number 3, the letter I, the word trust, T-R-U-S-T, then app.com. 3itrustapp.com. And then you go there and you buy an annuity trust.
Okay, and then I can pay there and everything.
Yep.
If
you have any questions, give one of us a call back and we'll take
care of
you.
Okay, Carol, I'll call you.
Okay, thanks, Dana.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jim, sorry, Una, if I cut you off. I thought you were done. It is shortly after 1, and as Jim said, we've got to move things around, so he needs a little time to do that. So, Jim, you want to say goodbye?
Yeah, goodbye. No, my number here, couldn't help myself. My phone numbers. Okay, I'm on the West Coast. I live in Oregon temporarily. My phone number is 503-583-6791 or 866-341-6907. I work Monday through Friday from 9 o'clock to around 6 o'clock every day. I do not like working weekends. I need some time to myself. I probably won't take any calls today. I got things I got to do. We're moving the thing. And security@indicatorinformation.com is my email address. Carol?
Okay. Thank you, all of you, for your time and attention and the great questions today. We really appreciate it. My name is Carol Werlius. My telephone number is 877-333-5018. I'm available between 10 and 6 Central Time. The best way to reach me is by email, which is usually info@indicatorinformation.com. However, it's not working today. If you need to get a hold of me today, try carol@werlius, werlius.me, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Have a happy and safe weekend, everybody, and go RV! Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.